Let's try that again. Good morning. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 13, Abram and Lot. Genesis 13, follow along with us. So Abram went up from Egypt to the Negev, and he and his wife and all that belonged to him and Lot with him. Now Abram was very rich in livestock, in silver and in gold, and he went on his journeys from the Negev as far as Bethel to the place where his tent had been at the beginning between Bethel and Ai, to the place of the altar which he had made there formerly, and there Abram called on the name of the Lord. Now Lot, who went with Abram, also had flocks and herds and tents. And the land could not sustain them while dwelling together, for their possessions were so great they were not able to remain together. And there was strife between the herdsmen of Abram's livestock and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock. Now the Canaanite and the Perizzite were dwelling then in the land. Then Abram said to Lot, "Please let there be no strife between you and me, nor between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we are brothers. Is not the whole land before you? Please separate from me. If to the left, then I will go to the right. If to the right, then I will go to the left." And Lot lifted up his eyes and saw all the valley of the Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere. This was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, like the gardens of the Lord, like the land of Egypt as you go to Zoar. So Lot chose for himself all the valley of the Jordan, and Lot journeyed eastward. Thus they separated from each other. Abram settled on the land of Canaan, while Lot settled in the cities of the valley and moved his tents as far as Sodom. Now the men of Sodom were wicked exceedingly and sinners against the Lord. And the Lord said to Abram, after Lot had separated from him, "Now lift up your eyes and look from the place where you are, northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which you see, I will give it to you and to your descendants forever. And I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth, so that anyone can number the dust of the earth, then your descendants can also be numbered. Arise, walk about the land through its length and breadth, for I will give it to you." Then Abram moved his tent and came and dwelt by the oaks of Mamre, which are in Hebron, and there he built an altar to the Lord. Amen. All right. I think there's some, particularly three points I want to make through this, and we'll go along as best as we can. So now Abram, you guys know, he leaves Egypt, and this is kind of all a part of God's working in his life. He finally moves from this place, and you know, the whole thing happened with his wife and all that whole detail. And so then he takes his livestock, all their possessions, and he goes down the Negev, and he finds this place back at Bethel and Ai, where he once had the altar. This is kind of a good reminder for us. You know, whenever you don't know where to go, whenever you may be a bit lost, whenever you can't quite figure out what the next steps are, one of the best things to do is go back to the last place that God touched you. Yeah, and now, I'm not really necessarily talking about a location per se. But whatever God is doing, or say God has done, and you come to a place where you don't know where to go, you don't know what to do, and maybe you're stuck and you're trying to figure out something, always go back to the last time you met with God. And that's precisely what Abram does. He takes his time, and he doesn't know where to go at this point. Now he's leaving Egypt, and he's going into some place, and he goes back to the last place that he had a very powerful encounter with God. There's something about familiarity. Obviously, this is talking about location. For me, I'm more talking about our heart in this way. You know, kind of go back to the last time, not necessarily last time, but go back to where God really, really touched you. What did you do? What was going on in your life at the time? How are you relating to God? What's happening? You know, for me, over an extended period of time, and I've been doing this during our lunch times, is probably the last time that God, I would say that there was really something quite significant about the Word in my life. Of course, I mean, I love the Bible, but I remember a time where it was like the Bible was so vivid and life, and I used to get quite emotional during this time, and it was when I was reading the Psalms. And it was a little while ago, and I would just sit there, and I just read the Psalms, and just read and read, and then something would, for whatever reason, something would just really stir my heart. I'd find myself kind of imagining David and the things that he's going through. And so for me, so that's what I've kind of decided to do during, you know, our fasting. So, you know, I'm not eating lunch, so coming down here and just reading the psalm, and I used to read it out loud, so I'm reading it out loud. Obviously, I can't read too loud because a lot of people praying here, and so I just read loud enough so I could hear my own voice. And, you know, something's happening, and it's this reminder, you know, going all the way back from Abram. You know, if you don't know what to do, if you maybe feel disconnected from God in some way, you know, go back and do the last thing you did. When you really felt the presence of the Lord in your life, where maybe it was a rejuvenation of the Word of God, or maybe it was, you know, something to do with your quiet time, and you're doing something, and that's precisely what he does. So he goes back to this altar, and most likely when he left, he tore the altar down, and he goes and he rebuilds this altar back up, and he worships the Lord. He calls upon the name of the Lord. I mean, talk about the best thing you can do when you don't know what to do. Does that make sense, right? The best thing you can do when you don't know what to do is simply call upon the name of the Lord. You know, seek him out. Ask him to come and minister to you and release you. And so then there's a next, so that's one, okay? I want to share on that and let the Holy Spirit speak to you about that. And then next thing, you know, is that there's strife now. There's a huge issue going on. One is they had so much property now. God has blessed them in Israel. I'm sorry, in Egypt. And a lot of good things are happening, and God's multiplied him, and God's doing all these wonderful things. And so now he gets to this place, and now there's strife between Lot and with Abram and with Lot's livestock and herdsmen and Abram's herdsmen, which goes to another point. Remember, going all the way back from yesterday's devotional, Lot should have never come with Abram. Remember, the word was, go forth from your country, go forth from your relatives, and from your father's house. And so we know that he disobeyed two out of three commands, in the sense that he takes his relative, his nephew, with him, and he takes his father's house with him, or most of his father's house, all the slaves, possessions, and all these things. And so he goes, so he disobeys. Lot should have never, ever come with him. And now we see exactly why Lot should have never come with him, because there's so much strife. So much so, think about it. So Abram disobeys God, takes his nephew with him, and then when they get to this place after Egypt, and they get to a situation where they say, hey, you go left, I'm going to go right. You go up, I'm going down. I mean, you talk about a major crisis moment where it says, hey, wherever you go, I'm going to go the opposite way, man. And there becomes such a situation here that garners this kind of separation to occur. And this is the real simple truth in this. Listen, just obey God. You know what I mean? Just obey God. A lot of times we think we know better than God. A lot of times we think that we're smarter than God. A lot of times we feel like, oh, God, I know this situation better than you do. And we are so reluctant to obey the Lord in that way. See, when God gives us a command, the command is for our benefit. It's not necessarily for his benefit. God, in his infinite wisdom, tells us these simple things like, hey, don't do this. You know, because this is going to cause a lot of trouble in your life. And we can, you know, because we're so rebellious and God, I want to do it my way. I want to do it because I want to do it, you know, kind of thing. And we're so self-centered and self-focused, we lose sight that the commandments of God are not burdensome. All right, this is the scripture, New Testament. Commandments of God are not burdensome. The reason why God asks us to do things is for our benefit. Right? Not necessary for his. God foresees this incredible crisis that's going to happen in Abram's life and says, Abram, look, don't take any of your relatives with you, right? It'd be better for you if they stay behind. I don't want to get further in, but Lot should have stayed with his grandfather, because Lot gets in all kinds of trouble, right, as he goes down to Sodom. And we'll talk about that later on when he gets there. I mean, Lot should have just stayed with his grandfather. You know what I mean? And stuff, and all kinds of stuff happened. I mean, just really, really bad stuff happens to Lot here. And it's better that he just stays back and you go onto this journey. And you know, I mean, it's, you can't get any more simpler than that. Just obey God. Just obey the Lord. He has, listen, church, he has your best interest at heart. Yours. Right? God, remember, he cannot deny himself. He cannot not be a blessing in our lives. That's who he is in his character. And that's his heart. He always wants to bless you. If you ever done Experiencing God in EG, there's a point where Blackaby starts talking about this and kind of how it really manifests. And I think he says it in such a wonderful way. And he talks about the same idea that his commandments are not burdensome to us, that when God, because his will is always right. And so when God gives us a command, it's really for our blessing, for ourselves, to prosper us. And he brings up this point about, you know, simply do not commit adultery. And he writes it in such a beautiful way. It's like one little chapter or paragraph. And he says, you know, imagine this. Imagine the kind of love that you want to have. Imagine that you are, you know, faithful to your wife and your spouse. And out of that love, there's really care and commitment. And then out of that love, you get children. And your children come to you and they sit on your knees. And they tell you how much they love you, you know, and all these things. And he says, now, why would you want to commit adultery? And so the whole idea is the word that he shares with us is for our benefit. Because you commit adultery, that trust is broken, the relationship with your kids is severed, you know, and all these things. And we think like some of these commands are for God. They're not. They're for us. You know, when I come out in the morning, my Elise, my firstborn, is very much similar to me, and she's an early riser, man, and so she's almost up every morning when I leave, and so she makes it a habit to come and say goodbye to me before I come out to morning prayer. And so she'll get up and she'll run out of bed, and you know, I'm usually putting on my shoes at that time, and then, you know, she'll give me a big hug and say, you know, Daddy, have a good day, you know, and then it's the interrogation, you know, when are you coming home, you know, what time are you coming home? And this is what we're going to do when you come home, you know, and whatnot, and you know, which is nice. And I mean, think, why would I trade that away? Do you know what I mean? I mean, why would I trade that away for a moment of lust, or you know, a moment of, you know, pornography? Or I mean, why in my right mind would I ever delve into those things, you know, that break up my relationship with my kids, my wife, and all these wonderful things that God has put into our lives? I mean, when you start thinking in that context, you're like, yeah, that's stupid, you know, do something like that. But a lot of times, because we take God's commands and they become something that's quite negative in our life. Listen, church, they're extremely, extremely positive. God, as a loving father, wants to take care of his kids. And so I tell my kids, hey, you know, don't do that. You know, hey, you know, don't touch that. Hey, when you go outside, put something warm on. Hey, you know what I mean? And the kids are like, hey, I don't want to. But I'm speaking out of a superior intellect than my little kids. I know eventually they're going to get smarter than me. I know that. You know, but at this moment, my superior intellect and my experience of life, knowing that it's really cold outside right now, please put on a jacket. And no matter how much they resist, I know that it's better for them in that way. We need to start looking at the commandments of God in that same lens. God knows more than we do. God. And I think we understand that. We are like, yeah, I know God knows more than me. But I think the issue again is trust, right? I mean, that was Abram's issue. We don't really trust that God has our best interest in mind. Something along the way, maybe unresolved prayers or something happened, and deep in our heart of hearts, we don't trust that he has our best in mind. And so we go off and do our own thing and try to cover our own selves in this way. But he tells us to do this. Now, let's see what happens. So they separate, and he goes and chooses, and I'll say this, Lot chose wrong, right? Look what he says. In verse 12, he says, and Lot settled in the cities of the valley and moved his tents as far as Sodom. Now the men of Sodom were wicked exceedingly, and sinners against the Lord. What in the world is Lot doing? Lot is now moving and associating himself with these wicked men, very far away from the descendants of Shem, you know, and the heritage they have in God. And so now look what happens. So now, if you have a pen, you should circle some of these words that come out here. The Lord said to Abraham, circle the word after. After Lot had separated from him, and circle the next word, now. Now we go all the way back to chapter 12. Remember the beginning of chapter 12, verse 1. Now, the Lord said to Abram. And now at 14, now lift up your eyes. Look from the place where you are, northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land you see, I will give it to you and to your descendants forever. I'll make your descendants as the dust of the earth, so that anyone can number the dust of the earth, then your descendants can also be numbered. Arise, walk about the land through its length and breadth, I will give it to you. Then Abram moved his tent and came and dwelt in the oaks of Mamre, which are in Hebron. There he built an altar to the Lord. Check this out. So, we see this incident happens, crisis. He leaves, and now, basically, the situation gets righted, and God said, okay, now is the time. Now we see the fulfillment or the beginnings of covenant that's happening, something that was promised to him in chapter 12, but didn't get realized until Lot leaves, until he begins to obey God and basically bring a reconciliation to the situation where he had sinned before, and now it's resolved, and God says, now. Finally, Abram, I got you exactly where I want you. Now, lift up your eyes and see all this land that I'm giving to you. And it goes all the way back to this covenant that happens here. But it happened after resolution. It happened after Lot leaves. And then he says, now this is the time. Maybe for some of us, the beginning, or not in the beginning, the restoration of the promise may come through repentance. The restoration may come, right, when you square away all of your deals in a certain way. Maybe you're having financial difficulties and all these things, and maybe you owe somebody money. You know what I mean? You know, the Bible tells us that the wicked borrow and do not repay. And so maybe that's and maybe the blessing is being withheld until you reconcile certain situations in your life. It could be in terms of relationships, right? You know, maybe the relationship that God has for you is being delayed because you're dating stupid guys. You know what I mean? You're dating knuckleheads or non-believers or, you know, God-haters or whatever it may be. Maybe those things are being delayed until that gets righted, and then God's blessings can overflow. In Abram's life, he rights the situation, and then what happens? Okay, Abram, now, this is it, now. And notice the thing, it was immediately after Lot left. It wasn't like, you know, a long delay in the process. And which all goes to show that God really, really wanted to bless Abram, but was delayed because of disobedience. And so I wonder, you know, how many things are delayed. I know this is a very simplified, right? This is devotional, right? A very simplified reading of it. But I wonder how many things in our life are delayed simply because of the fact that we have not walked in obedience. And you go before the Lord and you repent, you let go, you make restitution, and then you get ready for what God's about to do. Amen? So let's close our eyes today. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you. I think we made some very strong points. If you feel lost or whatever, maybe, go back to the last time that God met with you. What did you do? One thing we talked about today was just obey God. Is God asking you to walk in obedience in some way, and you are relenting? Maybe someone has asked you to serve at church in some capacity, and you're like, I don't know. I don't really want to bother, trouble myself. Maybe it's in the area of finances or relationships, or, you know, God's asking you something, and, you know, maybe in some ways you just don't trust Him. Maybe He's leading you somewhere, and you wonder, is this going to be the best? Well, if God's leading, yeah, it is the best. Because you can't do anything less than that. Or maybe some of us need to reconcile, take care of some past issues, right a wrong, and then get ready for the now moment. Well, let's sing and meditate on that.
Panted for the widest soul, my soul longing after you. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you as the deer. As the deer panted for the water, so my soul longing after you. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. You, I want you. more than gold or silver. Only you can satisfy. You alone are the real joy giver and the apple of my eye. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You desire, and I long to worship you, and I long to worship you.
Let's pray this morning. However you sense God leading you through those 3 points of going back to the touch of the Lord, maybe in obedience or restitution. Just talk with Him about those points and something that the Holy Spirit is kind of driving in your heart, and ask the Lord to minister to you in that way. Let's pray together. Let's pray for our community. Let's ask God's hand to be with them as they are battling cancer and other related illnesses. Some good news. The last one, Ben, the transplant, Ben Chatra, he received the transplant last week, and his life is saved, praise God. And so please can just pray for the others and ask for a real breakthrough physically over their lives. Let's pray. Pray for our friends that are sick but also need to understand and become a believer and follower of Christ. Let's pray for their illness, but more importantly, let's pray that they would come to Jesus. Let's lift them up. Let's pray for our community with non-cancer-related illnesses, and let's pray for God's healing in their lives. Pray for our community that's looking for work. Let's pray for God's provision. Let's go to our mission focus, and this morning let's pray for North and South Korea. Let's pray for Chris and the mission community in NK. Let's pray God continue to open doors in that place. Let's pray for the release of Kenneth Bae, the YWAM missionary who's been in prison there for a while. Let's pray for South Korea. Let's pray for our friends there, and hopefully within a few years we can plant a church there. Let's ask for God's hand on this Korean peninsula. Let's pray for IP, the well in Cascade. Now let's pray for our leaders, Rachel and Matt and Ricky. Let's pray our volunteers that will just continue to be refreshed as they seek God's face and minister to people on behalf of the church. Let's lift up these ministries. Let's pray for a Hong Kong Korean church and pray for Pastor Choi and pray that they would grow and church would be united and just really lead. The Spirit of God would just really lead the leadership into His care and grace. So let's pray for the church. Let's pray for our house churches meeting tonight, Soho House Church in Harborside. Pray for the leaders. Pray for a significant time of ministry and communion and care with one another. Let's lift up. Let's pray for SP Lights Outreach tonight. Pray for the leaders, Rainey, Angela, Joyce, and other people that will be coming out. Pray Holy Spirit will just really lead and guide. Pray for all the bakers that will be baking during this time, that they would really do with such love and care. And you know, even in the cookies and brownies, there will be real anointing on them to really minister and just change and move people's hearts. So let's pray. go to a member prayer focus. And let's pray for Kiwon and Christina Chung. Let's pray for a walk that's God-centered life. Protection and health over family, especially for Kiwon's chronic hepatitis B, to be healed. Pray for wisdom and patience and strength to raise Abigail and Alicia in God's accordance and direction and favor in both of their work, smooth transitions. Christina is going back to work in Feb, and Abby starts kindergarten in August. And so let's just pray for them and their family. Pray for Pearl. Let's pray for God's orchestrated relationship related to marriage. Good health of family, divine encounter for parents and brother with the Lord. They'll start to go to church. Pray for God to continue to lead, guide, and grow in serving the marketplace and favor from Him and from people. And God strengthens to grow and excel in her career. Let's lift up Pearl. Let's pray for our sister Vivian. Pray for deeper intimacy with God and to be emptied of worldliness and filled with the Spirit. Pray for gifts, understanding of tongues, and develop the gift of prophecy, and for her family's salvation, or God will encounter her parents, sisters, and friends. Let's pray for Viv and her family. Lord, we just thank you this morning, God. We thank you for the reminder, Lord, of God, how important it is to walk in obedience, God. That, Lord, things in our lives may be delayed because of our disobedience, Lord. And so I pray that you would just really build in us, God, a real spirit of repentance and reconciliation and restitution, Lord. That we are mindful, God, that the commandments of God are not burdensome. Lord, that you call us out, God, to obey more for our benefit than from yours, God. And so teach us, change us, God, so that we can trust you more, Lord. We thank you. Watch over us today, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Bless you guys. It's less than a week to go. Praise God. And so enjoy the rest of your prayer time.